Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, SeaWorld gets rid of the killer whale shows, and American Airlines is about to join a group that won't make its frequent flyers very happy.
At 3:20, John Holloway from Holloway's Travel Outfitters joins us here with some great gift ideas for the travelers on your holiday shopping list.
Cruise ships can be a great place for a vacation most of the time. At 3:35, we talk about new legislation to help keep you safe on the high seas.
And we've saved the best for last. We're going to tell you about a local charity that's been doing some amazing things. Stay tuned at 3:50 to learn about Bev's Angel Project.
It's a lazy Sunday afternoon, and we are most pleased you are spending part of it with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Kicks, I want a Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. It's another edition of the Travel Guys Lucky Us here on the radio. I'm Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman. To my, well, I'm trying to figure out where Mark would be. Extreme right, left, I'm not sure. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Tom in the studio, Mark at his, probably one of his favorite places on earth, over in Hawaii. Welcome, Mark. How's the weather?
Well, we're on the island of Kauai, so if you've ever been to Kauai, you know that the weather is kind of a changeable thing, like every 10 minutes, you know? You get a little shower, you get a little sunshine, you get a little liquid sunshine, get some clouds. So that's kind of what that's what it's like over in Kauai. They don't call this the Garden Island for nothing. You know, that's all of that liquid sunshine is what turns everything so green over here.
Do you have a special sunscreen formula, a routine whenever you go to Hawaii to protect yourself?
And you know, I really don't, Tom, because I'm a person who doesn't burn and who tans. My skin tans really easily, and I don't spend a tremendous amount of time in the sun. So unless I know I'm going to be out all day, I don't worry too much about the sunscreen because it's not a real big issue for me. I'm not a sun nut per se. So
well, all right. Well, look, folks, don't take Mark's what he does as something that you should do. Believe
yeah,
me,
exactly.
I've been to the islands, and even though I'm mostly Italian, I've seen people ruin their vacation so quickly.
You can always tell the people who have arrived the day before because or 2 days before, right? Because you go to the grocery store or a restaurant or something, and you can see they are just beet red.
Yes.
And you're thinking, wow, that was just really, really dumb. Kauai is my favorite island. I love the Big Island too, which is where we are headed later today. So it's a four big islands in Hawaii, Maui, and of course Oahu, and it's a great place. I'm very lucky to be in a position to, for a living, take people to Hawaii.
And you're going to do some flight seeing this time.
We are doing. We've already been flight seeing.
Oh, you have?
On Kauai, and we're going flight seeing over the volcanoes in a couple of days.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, you have a great time, okay? And then next weekend, we'll talk more about what all you did, all right?
I will give you the whole rundown, I promise.
All right. Well, look, at the top of every Travel Guys Radio program, first of all, let me remind you, go to TravelGuysRadio.com. where you can follow along with this and every show. And as I was about to say at the beginning of every Travel Guys radio show, we do the travel news. Mark, what do you got for us today?
Well, let's see. In the travel news, as we mentioned in the headlines, SeaWorld has finally caved in to pressure. It said on Monday it plans to replace its signature Shamu killer whale shows in San Diego with displays focused on conservation, after grappling with sagging attendance and years of criticism over treatment of the captive marine animals. You know, Tom, the SeaWorld people, they launched a really heavy PR campaign, I thought, earlier this year.
They did.
To try to convince people that what they were doing with their animals and stuff was appropriate. But
we love them, and we know you love them, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they live longer, and I'm not here. I'm not an expert on either side of the issue, so I'm not taking sides at all. The fact is that SeaWorld was heavily criticized after the 2013 documentary film Blackfish came out, which depicted the captivity of killer whales as inherently cruel. and SeaWorld criticized the film as being somewhat inaccurate and misleading. But here we are a couple of years later, and SeaWorld has decided to make a change. So if you're going to San Diego to SeaWorld, no more killer whale shows. You know that, Tom, that United Airlines appointed a brand new CEO just last summer after their then current CEO got into some trouble over some backhanding in New Jersey and their whole lease at the Newark Airport and some different things that we've talked about on the show. They selected Oscar Munoz as their CEO, and then Mr. Munoz had a heart attack only a couple of months into his term. You remember that, right?
I do, yes.
And so
we often wondered whether it might have been from stress
from stress of his job. Well, he was very well received by I'm a United flyer, and I can tell you from talking to folks on planes and at gates and stuff that he in a very short period of time had made a very positive impression with folks. And so they were all hoping that he would come back. So this week he sent a letter to the United team thanking them for their thoughts and prayers. And he says that he's on the road to recovery. It's going to take a little longer than he would like, but that he plans to be back with the airline in the first quarter of next year. And this is kind of good news for those of us who fly United, because we'll take any, you know, bright light in the darkness here. So if this man can come and get this airline to do a little better job, make it a little friendlier place to fly, why, we are all in favor of that. So good luck to Mr. Munoz, and we hope that he will be back at the first of the year. Folks from Iceland, have you ever been to Iceland, Tom?
I have not. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Let's see. Iceland is the one that's green, and Greenland is the one that's icy.
That is really impressive. I am really impressed that you knew that. That's exactly right. Greenland and Iceland are kind of misnamed. Iceland is an amazingly beautiful country, they say. I have not been there myself, but here comes information from the Iceland tourism folks that says tourist numbers are expected to triple. Wow. In Iceland over the next 4 years. You know, we've talked about the fact that you can fly Iceland Air and you can to Europe and you can stop in Reykjavik and they allow free stayovers. I mean, the ticket's not free, but that doesn't cost you any more if you'd like to spend a couple days in Iceland, which is a very expensive destination, but a very beautiful destination. And it appears as though a lot of people are discovering it. Sports Leisure Vacations actually has a trip to Iceland this summer. So if you are this coming summer, so if you're thinking about wanting to go, I would invite you to go with us. Scott Angeletti is going to take a group to Iceland, and he's been there before, so nothing like going with somebody who knows it. But anyway, if you're thinking about going to Iceland, the time to go is now. Mm-hmm. Because the number of people who are going to Iceland is going up fairly dramatically.
Now, does Iceland have a season?
Does Iceland have a season? Yes. They are fairly north, so you want to go in the summertime. It's kind of a coastal climate, so sometimes the best weather is kind of like San Francisco, you know, on the shoulders of summer. And sometimes you get low ceilings and stuff like that in the summertime, but I would say basically May to September.
Okay.
Air travel is Thanksgiving. Air travel is to be the highest in 8 years as fares continue to fall. Well, now don't fall out of your chair. Air fares are about 4% less than they were at this time last year. And considering how much fuel has fallen, that's probably not as much as airfare should have fallen. But there are fewer seats in the sky, more passengers chasing fewer seats. But about 3% more people are expected to fly this year, with 25.3 people hopping planes, the most crowded the skies have been since the Great Recession. And so next week on this program, we are going to talk about specifically about the airport and what to do and what not to do when you're headed out for Thanksgiving and Christmas and to visit the relatives and stuff like that. So we'll try to give you a few tips that might help you. And finally, the last news item for today, American Airlines. The rumor is that their frequent flyer program will go to be a spend-based program. Now, for those of you who are not real sophisticated frequent flyers, this probably won't mean anything to you. But those of us who fly on United or Southwest or JetBlue or Delta have in recent years seen their program change from a how many miles you fly,
right,
to a combination of how many miles you fly and how much money you spend.
Mm-hmm.
And American Airlines, which has now merged with U.S. Airways, has been the one holdout. Folks were hoping that was because American didn't want to follow that path, but it now appears that it had to do just with the merger. And the rumor is that American is going to go to a spend-based program as early as late next year or when their 2017 frequent flyer program is announced. And that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys here on KFBK. And, you know, Mark, you haven't asked me yet. You usually,
I haven't asked you what.
You usually ask me, well, Tom, what did...
Oh.
Yeah, I know you're in Hawaii, and you were supposed to say, well, what did you do this week?
And I could say something really rude, like, I'm in Hawaii, and I don't really care. that would be mean. Tom, reset. Tom, what did you do this week?
Okay, and thanks for asking, Mark. I thought you never would. I actually making some travel plans, and I've got some, you know, some travel information and stuff to help make people a smarter traveler. I'm planning a trip that's comprises Sacramento to Vegas to Orange County and back to Sacramento, while scheduling another one that goes from San Antonio to Vegas to Orange County and back to San Antonio. And the things that I've learned, because a lot of these are like one-way trips, and we tried to do the triangle booking thing, and I've discovered that...
I'm incredibly confused already, and yes. I'm not even on the trip.
Well, I can simply say this. If you're going to Vegas, or if you ever plan to go to Vegas anytime around Thanksgiving, even if it's after Thanksgiving, expect it to still be very busy. I don't know if these people are just hanging over from Thanksgiving or whatever, but room rates are going to be high. Of course, flights are still going to be a little pricey if you didn't book, you know,
room rates are supposed to be cheap between Thanksgiving and before Christmas vacations start.
Well, let me just say this. The first and second week of December are historically busy every year in Vegas for two reasons. Number one, a big NASCAR event. Another 150,000 people in town. And this year, the National Rodeo Championships there at the Thomas Mack Center. So figure about 250,000 extra people in Vegas the first and second week of December. And then the advice I can give you if you're going to go to Disneyland this time of the year with a large group, which I am, about a half a dozen, you're best off to pick something like a Residence Inn where you can put like 6-8 people in the same room. A lot of sleeping quarters available. They're usually a bi-level
The Residence Inns are nice because they're equipped kitchens, right? So you've got a microwave and a refrigerator, and you can save a few bucks if you're going to be there for a few days.
Well, you know, I don't necessarily, use the kitchen to cook, but they have a really big refrigerator, which means I can put a lot of beer.
Yeah, exactly. So. Or you can bring the leftovers home from the restaurant and eat the pizza for breakfast the next morning. I like my pizza warmed up, not cold.
There you go. Anyway, so there's my travel tip for the week. And coming up next, John Holloway joins us with some present tips, some stocking stuffers.
And Christmas is just around the corner.
And lots of great ideas for those travelers on your shopping list. And that's next, right here on The Travel Guys. Don't go away. Welcome. We are The Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And it's one of our favorite times of the year. It's a holiday time and time to start talking about Christmas giving to all of the travelers in your life.
What are you getting me for Christmas?
You know, Mark, I think I know you got you just recently got your luggage fixed over there at Holloway Travel.
Well, it needs
so
to
I
be
can't
something
get you that
expensive and gaudy.
No, well, I'm going to actually go to Holloway Travel where I don't have to spend a lot, and I can get something like you, Mr. Travel Everywhere, can go with. I think I'm going to get you. I don't know. So I think you're ready for compression socks.
Yeah, and are you not right? John Holloway, welcome to the Travel Guys, buddy.
Hey, ho, 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 fellas. Thanks for having me again.
Well, you know, it was a longtime tradition on this show for several years that we had you on periodically to talk about gadgets.
Yeah.
And travel gadgets, things that were important to travelers, and so cool new things and different things and stuff. But now you got this big new store, and it's Christmas time, and so I know you're probably hoping that some of the holiday shoppers will make Holloway Travel Outfitters their holiday stop shopping stop. Yeah, that is a tough one. So we thought for our listeners that, John, we'd have you on a couple times between now and Christmas and have you talk about some of the things that you think are going to be really in demand and some of the cool things that travelers just couldn't be without. I mean, you've got everything from people who travel once a year to kind of semi-professional travelers like Tom, who travels several times a year, to people like me who are on the road all the time. So let her rip, buddy. I see you got a whole table full of stuff here, and we have pictures online at travelguysradio.com so you can follow along with us.
Yeah. Well, everyday gear is kind of a good topic for us, for the everyday traveler who is hitting the road, or like you say, a seldom or maybe a once a year guy. And one thing we have a strong category with is the pillows and travel comfort. And people have tried every pillow by now, right? They've been on the road.
Yeah, you know, John, that's a good point. You go into the airport, and every store has a different kind of pillow that they want to sell you. Which particular one do you have here?
Well, we stay a little more practical. Some of those things you see, they got kitty heads on the end of the pillow or something, and you know, so your chin is bumping up against that. And nothing against cats, but really, we rather have something that is packable. So our entire focus, if it's our website, packinglight.com, or in our store, it's all meant to get you lighter. That's what people want to do. They want to beat the fees.
Now, I'm looking at this this pillow that John has here and for our listeners, and the whole thing, once you deflate it, it's the inflatable kind, but once it's deflated, it goes into something that's probably just a little bit larger than, let's say, a large pill container. It's very, very small. It's about probably no more than 2.5-3 inches long and maybe 1.5 inches wide.
Yeah.
So tell me more about that.
Well, it's 1 ounce, 1.8 to be exact. So that is just another example of all of our kind of gear that is so light and very comfortable. People want it to come around to the front of their chin so they don't end up in that seat reclining with their chin down on their chest.
I'm one of these guys who has never figured out the pillow on the plane bit. I see people who bring their pillows from home.
Yeah.
Well, those are way too big, and that's ridiculous. And you look like an idiot. So to all of you who are bringing your pillows from home, I mean, I wish I could bring mine, but it makes you look, you know, too weird. And so I've tried all of the different. I've stuffed my jacket. I've bought the pillows. I've done the. And so you know, I'm just. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, John. I'm going to get one of those. I'm going to take it out, and okay. I'm going to come back. We're going to tell people if it really works.
Awesome. Perfect. Okay. Let's do it. How about those compression socks Tom was talking about that you're ready for? Anybody of any age needs them.
Just about. If you're traveling a long ways, the more you read about stuff, that the compression socks really are quite good for you.
Yeah. Honestly, we sell several pair every single day. They're maybe, you know, they're not like buying a pair of crew socks for $10. They're engineered. They're really, really somewhat of a medical
necessity. So explain to our listeners what compression socks are about.
Well, they're meant to give you graduated blood flow throughout your legs. So they don't rush the blood to your legs. They don't restrict it. It just gives you gradual blood flow so you avoid the leg swelling and the discomfort. Because let's face it, the airlines don't want you up and walking around anymore.
Yeah, they took away the jogging track on the plane, and ever since then.
Yeah, so you're locked in for sometimes 10, 12 hours. You can still get up, but there's so much seating time that these help create the blood flow throughout your leg and just keep you so much more comfortable to avoid any kind of, deep leg thrombosis. I can't even say the term correctly. But anyhow, yeah, those
blood
are
clots. Blood clots.
Blood clots.
I think that's the simplest way. Now that we've scared everyone, you know, everybody's going to be in for some compression socks. Next. Yeah.
Next. Well, as long as we're on the topic of everyday needs, one of the big things is everyone knows is this EVM chip and the RFID chips on credit cards. Every single traveler is going abroad. They should notify their credit card company, hey, I'm going overseas. They want to know that. They want to know where you are and what day and what city. But it's a necessity. These people have this kind of card to be able to use it in Europe and so on. So the bad news is that, again, we're going to have to scare some folks, but we're making them aware. And that is that people can have RFID readers and get their private information. So for $5, we have credit card sleeves and passport sleeves.
So what you want to do is you use these. I've got one in my wallet. You use these to put your credit cards and the like in so that people cannot basically scan into your wallet.
Exactly.
We're talking with John Holloway, Holloway Travel Outfitters, in our studio today from his new store over on Howe Avenue across from Harold Ford. And we're talking about Christmas gifts, ideas for the travelers in your life.
And John, we should point out to folks that you are not, if you've always gone to Holloway Travel Outfitters over on Fulton Avenue, yo-ho, pay attention, not on Fulton Avenue anymore.
No, right. We've had a few folks go to the old spot, and that's one of the scariest things for retailers. Are they going to come find us? Thank goodness. Our loyal clients that we share, Mark, have been working and trying to find us.
Yeah. Well, it's right over there on Howe Avenue, and Tom mentioned right across from Harold Ford, bigger store, so you have more stuff, and it takes more time to browse through, especially the clothing department there. All right, so I've interrupted, so give us another item here.
Well, how about a packable tote? Something that allows people to shop. So here we are telling people, pack light, get under that 50-pound airline weight maximum.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, you know, what if I go shopping? You know, we know my mom used to go 10,000 miles to go shopping. So we have packable totes, packable day packs, and duffel bags that start off very light, very small, in small pouches like the size of a thick ham sandwich, mm-hmm. and then become a 20-inch carry-on bag on the way home.
Okay, let me ask you, John. I always get those things, and they're great the first time, but I can never get them back down to that size again.
Yeah, you're right. You got to really kind of use those thumbs a little bit. But, you know, this one we have out here today, it's the Eagle Creek Packable Tote. It's got some extra room, and it's not a big deal to fit it back in there. You know, if you're a determined shopper, uh-huh. you'll figure out a way.
Now, yeah, keep in mind, when you go to Holloway Travel to buy this, I bet you if you said, John, would you pull that out of the bag and show me how to get it back in? I bet you'd do that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's not too hard to do.
There you go. Because they're packing
experts.
That's,
you know, Tom, that's something we should probably mention here. I mean, I'm sure it'll get busier at the holidays, and John, like everybody else, will be busier. But when you go into his store, he would tell you this, but better I tell you, you're going to get more personalized service. And if you're a person who likes to be able to talk to the salesperson, and when you're buying, I don't care if it's compression socks or an adapter or whatever, and you're not really as knowledgeable as you'd like to be, it's good to have somebody who knows what they are talking about. And I that might be the most important thing about this conversation, is that at John's store, instead of buying something online and having to send it back later because it wasn't exactly quite the right thing or it didn't turn out to be exactly what it looked like, you can go into his store and look at the stuff.
My God.
And then if you want to go home and buy it online and have him ship it to you, you can, I suppose. But the point being that there are experienced people, and I know at my company, we have a lot of people who are experienced in travel. That experience is important. And if you're going to walk in off the street, especially at holiday time, into a store and you're buying gifts for someone, it helps to have somebody who knows what they're talking about. So there's a commercial for you, John.
That was well said.
Without you having to do it. Will you come back next week and talk to us about luggage and maybe some other gift ideas for folks?
Absolutely. We love to inform people. We're a toy store for adults, and so we love talking about it. And thanks for the invite, Mark.
And once again, folks, remember John Holloway will join us next week, and we'll talk about more stocking stuffers and great gifts for the travelers on your shopping list. We are the Travel Guys, and coming up after the news, a special guest, Kendall Carver, joins us from the International Cruise Victims Association. We're going to be talking about your personal safety on cruise ships. That's next on the Travel Guys.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best.
You're listening to the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations here on KFBK. Just recently, last week, we talked with Chris Elliott on the show, Mark, about cruise lines and whether it's a good idea to be going on a cruise if you have a medical condition. And the end of this discussion basically said, if you have a serious medical condition, such as a heart ailment or whatever, you might want to second guess because what would be considered medical care on a cruise ship to one person may be really inadequate to another.
Absolutely. And Tom, and our own Congresswoman here, Congresswoman Doris Matsui, a couple of years ago, was instrumental in creating a piece of legislation that at least made cruise ships accountable and made them do some record keeping and made them be a little bit more aware of crime on board. But this is an ongoing situation. You know, we had Lori Dishman on. This problem has not gone away. Joining us, Tom, on the phone is Kendall Carver. Kendall is the chairman of the International Cruise Victims Association. Kendall, welcome to the Travel Guys.
It's my pleasure.
Kendall, as Tom mentioned, we kind of brought this subject up last week when we started talking about medical care or the lack thereof on cruise ships. And I came across an item of yours where you're talking about a young lady, an underage young lady, who was raped on a cruise ship, and there wasn't too much response.
And unfortunately, this is not an exception, but it's the rule. If people take minor children on cruise ships and they're raped by another minor child, the FBI, frankly, will do nothing in those cases. And in the article which just came out Sunday in Chris Elliott's blog, we discussed the fact that the FBI kind of takes a position. They don't want to ruin, let's say, the boy's life, and therefore no action's taken in these cases. Well, if you're the mother of a daughter who's been raped, that doesn't make you very happy. that no action is taken to prosecute the individual. And unfortunately, that happens. And not only that, you say, how common is a sexual attack on a minor? It turns out, based upon a study done by the Senate, Senator Rockefeller, 34% of all sexual crimes on cruise ships are on minors.
So if you're taking your family on board a cruise ship and you've got a daughter who's high school age, is this something you should be concerned about? I mean, how often does this happen on cruise ships, Kendall? Is this something that is an irregular occurrence? Or are we more concerned about what the response is as opposed to the frequency of it?
Well, both, frankly. The shorter cruise, the 3 and 4 day cruise, statistics have shown that the crime rate is significantly higher because there's a lot of drinking going on. And in a study done by Dr. Ross Klein, it showed the sexual crime rate was 50% greater on a cruise ship than in the average American city. And there's one thing missing when it occurs. There's no policeman. You can't go to the hospital and then call the police and have them file a report. You're at the mercy of the cruise ship.
I wanted to ask you, in regards to these particular kind of crimes, historically, are the crimes being committed by other passengers, or do you find that it's the people who are working on the ship?
Well, it's a combination of both. Some of the studies have shown that upwards to half the crimes are committed by crew members against the minor children or the adult women that are on the ship. So it's something that people have to be aware of, that the steward, and when you said teenage children, there have been cases of children that are not teenagers that are being sexually attacked. There's a recent case that came out, it was on television last week, on a Disney cruise ship where the child was 11 and molested by a crew member on an elevator.
So we're talking with Kendall Carver. Kendall is the chairman of the International Cruise Victims Association, and we're talking about things that happen on cruise ships. Kendall, your association could have their way. What's the remedy to this?
The remedy is, if we had our way, that if you're in a city, they have an independent police force that you can turn to. Unfortunately, that does not happen on a ship. They think the security is security to protect them. The security in a cruise ship has no authority. Now, in theory, they should contact the FBI. But in 2013, as an example, there were only 3 convictions of a crime by the FBI on a cruise ship. I mean, that just shows how vulnerable we are. And Doris Matsui has really led the way in trying to tighten up these regulations. And in the current legislation, proposes that the crimes against minors be separated so that parents can look at a particular ship and see what the chances are on that ship for a minor or anybody being attacked.
Let me ask you, is there currently any way for consumers to be able to know, Kendall, if a particular cruise ship or a particular cruise line has a history of these types of incidents?
The answer is not really. Although at the end of last year, Senator Rockefeller passed legislation that will make all alleged crimes, they'll have to make them public, but that will not take effect until 2016. So we should have a better handle as we move into the next year of which ships are having the crimes and the frequency of the crimes, even if there's no conviction.
Many people, I suspect, who take ocean-going cruises do not realize that most of these ships, in fact, almost all of them, except for some river-going ships and the one in Hawaii, are all flagged in foreign countries. At the end of the day, they don't answer to U.S. authorities except in limited situations. They answer to the authorities in whatever country that they're flagged in, which generally is for tax purposes or some other type of financial purposes. Kendall, is there a way to get better control on the cruise ships? Is this something that our Congress needs to pay more attention to? How does the consumer make something happen here?
Well, the consumer makes something happen by working with a congressional person, as Lori Dishman worked with Doris Matsui to educate her on the problem. And Doris has then taken the lead in the Senate so that even though you're on a ship reporting that's flagged in the Bahamas or Panama, they do now have accountability to U.S. laws. Now, the next thing is to get those laws enforced. But by them stressing this, with their local congressman, as Lori Dishman did with Doris Matsui, and I did with John Kerry, who represented the district where my daughter lived, or represented Boston. They took action once they became aware of the problem. That's what the public needs to do.
We're talking with Kendall Carver, International Cruise Victims Association. Kendall, this may be a little out of your area of expertise, but we've got a lot of folks listening that are probably thinking, wow, I don't even know if I ever even want to go on a cruise if it's going to be that dangerous and these issues may occur. Is there any suggestions, or is there any tips that you could give our listeners that might be planning a cruise to help keep them safe?
Well, number one, if they have children, don't turn them loose. You need to be with them all the time. But if a crime does occur, you have the right, the legal right, not to go to the security of the cruise ship, but to tell the ship that you want a hotline to the FBI. That is in the law. So the report goes directly to the FBI and is not filtered through the security of a cruise ship, who is there really to protect the cruise ship and not the passengers.
Well, and Kendall, it's time that we get Doris Matsui on the program with us here and have her explain the next step in this legislation so that we can keep our people protected on the high seas. It's not just younger people that we're talking about here. Older people could be victims of assaults mm-hmm. or robberies or yeah, things absolutely. Of that sort. So, Kendall, keep up the good work, buddy. Fight the good fight. Thank you for spending some time with us, and we'll probably check back in with you in a few months and see if we've made any progress.
Great. Appreciate your support.
We are the Travel Guys, not only here to make you a smarter traveler, but hopefully to make you a safer traveler as well. Remember now, you can follow along with the Travel Guys at travelguysradio.com. You can also podcast all of our shows at that location, as well as at iHeartRadio.com and KFBK.com. From time to time here on the Travel Guys, we like to recognize those that do extraordinary things for our community. And we have a group that does exactly that coming up next. It's the Bev's Angels Project. And that's next here on the Travel Guys.
Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Mark and Tom, the Travel Guys here, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And if you've been listening to the show at all over the last few years, on occasion we'll bring up the fact that Sports Leisure Vacations likes to help out charities and give back to the community, because they've been in business for 35 years and the community has been pretty darn good to them. Mark, we got a special guest that's one of your charities that you support. Tell us about it.
We do, Tom. It's the holiday season, and not only at holidays, but at other times of the year, there are lots of groups of people around Sacramento, maybe one person, maybe 20 people, maybe 150 people, who do good for the community. And most of the time, they get no recognition for it at all, but they keep doing good anyway. And that's one thing that makes a community. And I thought that it would be fun this year, as we get close to Christmas, to highlight this is a local activity that's been going on for longer than I knew. Welcome, Judy Shoemaker, to the Travel Guys.
Thank you. It's very happy to be here.
Judy is part of Bev's Angel Project, which I understand has been going on now for almost two decades. And what I know about it is that it's a bunch of ladies who collect toys and redistribute them to kids around the community who need them at Christmas. Judy, I'm sure you can give me a much better description than that of Bev's Angel Project.
Well, our mission statement is serving the less fortunate and challenged children of the greater Sacramento area. And we probably have around 2,000 volunteer hours logged in throughout the year. But, of course, our big time is during December. We have volunteers who are wrapping gifts, who are helping us deliver. What we do all year is we're collecting toys, basically for kindergartners in school areas where they may not get a lot of gifts for Christmas. And we go with Mrs. Claus, Jan Strickland, who is the founder, and we go with her. She reads to the children. We hand out. Every child gets a a blanket, a stuffed animal, a stuffed stocking, a gift. And then we also do family gifts out of the schools. And every child receives a blanket. Every child receives toys and stuffed animals. We serve St. John's Women's and Children's Center during the holidays. Any child who is there for the holidays receives a gift basket and a gift bag from us. We work hard at what we do with about 100 volunteers and are proud of what we've accomplished. And this year, we're extremely excited about the generous donation from Sports Leisure, along with Sacramento Bank of Commerce in Roosevelt and Beverly's Fabrics, who are going to allow us to go out and buy any of the toys that we're going to need.
Tell me, Judy, how do you identify the children that you're going to help out?
Through the schools, we contact the school offices. We've looked up demographics, and we know the areas, and we know where these low-income children and these families are that may not have the best of Christmas. And for the families that come from these schools, we go to the secretaries in the offices and the teachers, and they provide us with the information that we follow up on.
Judy, how did it get the name Bev's Angel Project?
Jan worked for Beverly's Fabrics in Carmichael, and she wanted to start doing something small within the community, and they supported her and have supported her and us for all of this time, and it began as Bev's Angel Project from their name, and we just kept that.
Talking with Judy Shoemaker with Bev's Angels Project, how do people that might be interested in helping out become a Bev's Angel Project volunteer, Judy?
Well, we reach out to various organizations. We're very involved with Carmichael Kiwanis. We have a lot of people from the San Juan School District, and kind of we're all throughout the community, and it's pretty easy to figure for them to be able to get a hold of us. And we also have some boxes and boards out talking about our group out at various locations, business locations in Carmichael during December, where they could actually also drop off gifts.
Well, we'll put a link, Judy, to your organization on travelguysradio.com. So anybody who is listening to the program today who would like to become involved as a volunteer or who would like to contribute to the massive pile of toys that you ladies are going to accumulate. You know, Tom, I've been over to their space at Country Club Plaza the last couple of years to drop off some stuff that have been left at Sports Leisure and that we have collected. And it's just... boy, I tell you, it's really amazing. They're kind of in the bowels of the shopping center there, and they're just working, wrapping gifts and sorting things, and it looks like Santa's workshop.
I was going to ask you, Mark, how did you run across Bev's Angels Project?
Some of the ladies who are part of this are travelers. Irene Potter was the one that brought it to my attention, and some of the ladies who travel with Sports Leisure, and I think it, you know, as I said at the beginning, there are a lot of grassroots charity groups in our community who work really hard, and behind the scenes they don't do it for attention or recognition, and I think this is just a perfect example of this. And it's the kind of thing that we like to get involved in, because we know that every dollar that we give them, every toy that we put on the table, is going to end up where it's supposed to. So it's all volunteer. There's no administrators, there's nobody's pockets to, you know, there's no place for the money to go except where it's supposed to. Isn't that right, Judy?
Absolutely. That's our goal, and that's what we've always strived to do. And I also just want to say again, Mark, thank you to Sports Leisure for your kindness and generosity. You've been with us for 3 years now, and we appreciate what you do and what the community does. This is a very giving community, and we are so appreciative.
Thank you, Judy. You are most welcome for the gift, and you ladies keep up the good fight. It's dollars from our Travel Club members, but it's your sweat equity that has made all this happen. So on behalf of all the kids whose Christmas will be a little brighter this year, thank you to all the ladies at Bev's Angel Project.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks, Judy. Such wonderful people, Mark. They do such a great job. It's wonderful for that you ran across them, and it feels good to give them an opportunity to talk about their program on the radio.
Yeah, 18 years that they've been doing that. So imagine how many kids wake up each year on Christmas morning and their day, their whole situation is just a little bit brighter because of those ladies working in that room at Country Club Plaza. I think it's pretty darn cool. All right, let's see. What else have we got here, Tom? Rob on the road this Monday night. Rob on the road this Monday night is going to the CHP Academy. We only mention this because Rob on the Road is brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Just like this program, go behind the scenes at the California Highway Patrol Academy to see how officers are trained. That sounds actually pretty darn interesting.
I remember having Rob on, and we asked him about some of the things that he's done that he takes the most pride in and is most excited about. And this particular event for him was like top of the list.
Oh, and this is my list here, that the promo list that KVIE sends me says this is a new episode. So it's airing for the first time Monday night, 7:30. Rob on the Road goes to the CHP Academy, the Sports Leisure Vacations travel card winner. We have not had a winner, Tom, for 3 weeks.
Oh, my gosh.
So the way this works is that every week we don't have a winner, the jackpot goes up $100. So we're up to $400 now, which is as high as we've gotten since we started this last spring.
You keep this up, you're going to have to, send them called, a 1099?
Yeah, exactly, a 1090 form for winnings. Our winner this week is Brian Toole, T-O-O-L-E, Brian Toole. Brian, if you are listening to the radio and you have traveled with Sports Leisure Vacations recently, you have won a $400 travel card if you call our office Monday or Tuesday to claim your prize. And if we don't hear from Brian next week, we will announce a potential $500 winner. How's that? Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
There you go.
Tom, I have this is just a little thing here before we wrap up the program. One of my clients sent this to me, and I thought this is such a terrific idea. He actually posted it on my Facebook page. He said, you know how people, they go in the house and they leave their keys by the front door?
Right.
That really you should be doing this. You know, a lot of the modern day car key sets now, you know, my car has it. I'm sure yours does. It has an alarm on it.
Right.
So that you could, you know, you can, and usually it goes off in our pocket and we have to go back.
Exactly,
and, you know,
yeah.
It's kind of a nuisance. But the idea here is to keep your keys nearby you in your home, because if somebody was trying to get into your home or had gotten into your home and you could reach your keys and make your car start making a lot of noise, there's probably a pretty good chance that whoever was doing that would probably go away. Same thing if you saw somebody, you know, trying to break into your car. Same thing. Let's say, you know, people, they always say carry your keys and use them as a weapon. Well, I mean, that's a great idea in practice, but yeah. In reality, I don't know if that works or not. Why use the keys as a weapon? Why not just hit that alarm?
That is brilliant.
Isn't that brilliant? So thanks to Dave Wink, who sent me this, and I really just think it's I never thought of it. You're carrying an alarm in your pocket with you. So when you're walking to and from, especially ladies, if you're walking to and from in a dark parking lot or something like that, you should have those keys right next to you. And because sure enough, you hit that alarm and that goes off, it's likely to create some attention and get some folks. So anyway, I thought that was kind of make you a smarter traveler, and by golly, we'll just make you smarter in the grocery store parking lot too.
That's amazing. You know, that should be a category called I never thought of that.
Yeah.
And if you have one of those I've never thought of that's, go to TravelGuysRadio.com. Besides, browse around there. Send us a note and share one of your I bet you never thought of that, and we'll read it on the radio. That's great.
That sounds good. All right, Thomas, I'm going to go back and enjoy Hawaii for a few more days. I'll be back and tell you all about it next week, buddy.
And we'll be back here next Sunday at the same time for another episode of The Travel Guys. In the meantime, you guys have a wonderful week. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.